Morning, everyone. Welcome to Purim. Today's daf in Sukkos is daf Lamed Aleph. A couple days ago, we started the third parak of the Masechta, and we're going to continue in the discussion of Kimlei B'Derabimine. As I mentioned already a number of times, it's a very popular parak to learn, a very lamda shugya. It's very analytical. You'll see it really play out today. Today is like going to be like one of those days where in the yeshivas they would spend a couple months on this daf in the. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf Daf. Yesterday, we pointed out that, first of all, we went over the basic halacha kamlei b'derabimine, which means that if you do something which is one crime, and that one crime incurs two penalties, one is a capital punishment and the other one is a financial obligation, so the financial obligation gets bumped because of the capital crime. That's kamlei b'derabimine. You give the harsher of the two penalties. That's the basic halacha kamlei b'derabimine. Why are we getting to the topic of the discussion? Because of the Mishnah back on Chavtes. The Mishnah taught us that if a man is ma'anis a woman, who is usher to him? And let's say the Isser is an Isser Kari, so let's say a man is ma'anis a sister, is one of the examples given in the Mishnah. So he's obligated to pay the payments. The payments of Knas and the Chamisha, Niske Mamon. He has to make the payments. So what is our Mishnah clearly teaching us? Our Mishnah is of the opinion that even though there are two penalties, one penalty is Bidei Shemaim, the other one is Bidei Adam, but our Mishnah says, okay, but that's not Kamlei B'Derabimineh. Kamlei B'Derabimineh is only going to be when it's Misa and Mamon. When I say Misa, I mean Misa Bidei Adam. It's a capital crime with a capital punishment. That's going to bump off the financial obligation. But if it's Misa Bidei Shemaim or if it's Kares, like we saw back in our Mishnah, so then that's not going to bump off the financial obligation. That is clearly the opinion of the Mishnah. And the Gemara, which was yesterday's daf, and it's going to come into today's daf as well, and the Gemara says that's the opinion of our Mishnah, but that's not agreed to by everybody. Notably, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana disagrees with our Mishnah. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, which we quoted in yesterday's daf and daf lamed aleph, so he says that kares and mamon also creates a kamlei scenario. So if a person does an action which results in kares and mamon, the kares is going to bump off the mamon and he's going to not be on the financial hook to pay for that financial obligation because the kares is going to overshadow it. What is the source of Rav Nechunya ben Akana? So that was most of yesterday's daf. Yeah, most of yesterday's daf gave us two sources for it, two opinions provided by Abaye and Rava. Abaye says it's a Zereshava. We have the word Ason mentioned by Kimlei B'Derabimineh. We have the word Ason mentioned when Yaakov warned his sons, I do not want to send Binyamin with you because I'm worried about some sort of catastrophe. Thank you. Catastrophe that's going to occur to his son. So I'm not going to send him down with you. Abaye says you take these two words, Ason, you put them side by side, and that results, that yields in the conclusion that just like Ason operates Bidei Adam, Ason also operates Bidei Shemaim as well. That's the proof of Abaye, or that's the source of Abaye. Rav had a different source, and that's a Pasuk in Chumash. The Pasuk in Chumash says that if somebody is liable to the death penalty, the Pasuk in Chumash is dealing with Mavir ben Olam Molech, right? You're involved in this idea where you sacrifice your son and Beis Din now has an obligation to put him to death, and the Torah says that if Beis Din doesn't do their obligation of putting him to death, Kadosh Baruch Hu says I'm going to step in and I'm going to give him Karis. So what do you see from that Pasuk? That Karis basically takes the place of Mises Beis Din. So if there is no Mises Beis Din, so Karis is right there. So there's an equivalency between Mises Beis Din and Karis. So that means now that just like there's an equivalency between the two, and just like Mises Beis Din is going to knock off the financial obligation, Karis as well is going to knock off the financial obligation. What's the practical difference between these two approaches of Abaye and Rava? So the Gemara says, and this is what we're going to start with today, the practical difference between the two is going to be Misa Bidei Shemaim. Meaning, what if I do an act that incurs two penalties, one of them not being Kares, but being the punishment that's just a little bit under Kares, and that's Misa Bidei Shemaim. The example we're going to talk about for most of today is going to be the consumption of truma. A non-Kohen eats truma subject to Misa Bidei Shemaim. So if a person does something which incurs not the death penalty, not kares, but misa b'dei shamayim. And together with that, there also comes the financial obligation. So that would be a nafkamina. If you learn out the sorcerer of Nechonya ben Akarna from the Gzeresh Avav Ason Ason, so it doesn't matter what kind of heavenly death you're talking about. We're talking about kares, we can talk about misa b'dei shamayim. That is going to bump off the financial obligation. If, however, you learn it from Rava, Rava's Pasuk specifically talks about kares. It doesn't mention misa b'dei shamayim. The only equivalency is kares and Mises Beis Din. But if it's Misa B'dei Shamayim, so that's not included, and therefore there would be a Chiv. So the Gemara notes that that's going to be a difference. And today, super enjoyable daf as we're about to begin it, and that is that one of the basic rules of Kimlei B'derabimine is that in order for there to be a Ptur and exemption from the money, the two acts, or the, I should say, the two penalties have to come concurrently. They have to come at the same time. And that is really what we're going to be discussing for the rest of today. It's going to get a little bit complicated today, just a lot of things to juggle, a lot of different opinions to juggle, but that if we're going to just put today's daf in one theme, the theme of today is that the two penalties have to result from an act which occurs concurrently with one another. So let's go.
I mean, what a woman who was raped, I mean, what satisfaction she has. I mean, she doesn't even get any money. You know, if it's Nisi B'deodom, okay, the guy's dead, but otherwise...
Look, the Kamlei B'derabimine is going to, I mean, I know we're digesting this, but the Kamlei B'derabimine is going to create a loss for somebody who should have gotten financially paid.
She's the one who loses everything.
I understand, but that's always going to be...
The guy's B'deodom, I understand, she has some satisfaction, he's dead. But he has.
All right, fine. So I mean that's an emotional piece, and you know, me being a very emotional person, but that's always going to happen in Kamlei B'derabimine. Someone who should have gotten reimbursed and compensated is not going to get it. And okay, that right now you understand it's a big, this whole idea is such a big chiddush that someone's not going to get paid what they're entitled to get paid because Basin's going to kill him. And I'm going to lose out because of that? Look, I'm happy he's getting what he deserves, but I'm owed money. Okay. All right. Okay. That's
concurrently.
I do mean simultaneously, but I'm using the word concurrently because I know the Gemara is coming up in just a moment, and that's why I chose the word concurrently. But simultaneously is also appropriate, but you'll see why I say concurrence. Okay. So my ika ben Rav Abaye. So in the Gemara itself, we're starting now in Daf Lamed Amud Beis. We're halfway down the Amud, and the Gemara says, "What's the difference? What's the difference between Abaye and Rav?" Ika ben Rav. The Gemara says, "I'll tell you what the difference would be." Good. You have a non-Kohen and he's eating truma. And so now, let's talk about his liabilities. So one liability is that a non-Kohen eats truma, so Misa B'dei Shamayim. Okay, that it's a terrible act, not kares, Misa B'dei Shamayim. So, right? That it has to be because we're looking for the nafkamina. So it's Misa B'dei Shamayim. And yet... And that's one liability. And the other liability, of course, is he took truma away from a kohen. He owes a kohanim the truma that he took away. So that is a financial obligation. Now, le'abaye patzah, so according to Abaye, he's going to be exempt from the financial obligation. Why? Because according to Abaye, kamle b'derabimine, you invoke the rule of the greater punishment is going to bump off the lighter punishment. Ula Rava Chayev, and according to Rav Yibi Chayev, why according to Rav Yibi Chayev? Because again, the source of Rav Nechunya ben Akana according to Rav is a pasuk. The pasuk says, when does the heavenly death bump off the financial obligation? Only when that heavenly death is specifically kares. But over here we're talking about Misa B'dei Shamayim. So therefore, according to Rava, you're going to be chayv, you're going to be liable. Both the Misa B'dei Shamayim and the financial obligation as well. Ula Abaye Pater, and here we go now, as the Gemara now delves into this topic of concurrence. Let's say the following. I steal your chalif. Okay, chalif, forbidden fats of an animal. Eating forbidden fats of an animal is subject to an isser kares. I steal your chalif. Now, what were you doing with it? It's very easy. You're not allowed to eat it, but you can get all kinds of hanah from it. You can use it for light. You can use it for illumination. You can use it for fuel. So, begonif chabal shechaver v'achlo. So, I steal your chalev. I eat your chalev. Shu chayev. And what am I on the hook for? Everything. I'm on the hook for my for the theft, and I'm on the hook also for for the kareis. When I eat it, and the reason why is very simple. Gemara spells it out. Shikvar nischai begneva kodem shabali deyisur chaylev, because I stole, and I stole. That was on one occasion. I ate, which is on another occasion. In other words, the only time that we're going to employ the rule of kamle is only when they occur at the same time. Here, they did not occur at the same time. Amad to be eaten at the agbe kanya. So that means the moment I picked it up, that's it. I made a kinyan. Kinyan over here means that's the time when I'm a thief. Meaning that creates a liability of theft the moment I pick it up. An act of picking it up is theft. And mischayv mishan benafsha lo have adachale. And when am I chayv on kares? Only when I eat it, which is a later point in time. So hachanami. So the Gemara says good. So that's a basic rule. Rav Nechunya ben Akana would agree. And by the way, parenthetically, the Chachamim would agree with that as well. Meaning the statement was made within the world of Rav Nechunya ben Akana, which is the world we're in right now. But the truth of the matter is that even the Chachamim who argue with Rav Nechunya ben Akana would also agree, just not with the example of kares, well, only with the example of Misa Bidei Adam. But the concept, of course, is a universal concept in the world of Kamlay. And Hachanami b'idin da'agbe kanyim ischayv b'nasha lo havei ada achalei. So the Gemara says, okay, so when you're eating truma, so what do I have to do? First, I have to take the truma. Okay, I take it. That's one act. That's mamon. That's at that point in time, now I'm on the hook for the financial obligation of reimbursement. And then when I eat it at a later point in time, that's when I'm going to be chayv misa b'dei shamayim. So they're not coming at the same time. So we're not going to say kamle. So how could the Gemara have just thrown that out as if, oh, that's a nafkamina? It's not a nafkamina because they're not happening at the same time. To this, the Gemara is going to give three different approaches in terms of how it's possible that the stealing of the truma and the chayv misa for eating the truma is going to be concurrent. Okay, so the Gemara is going to rat them off in very quick succession. Although the truth of the matter is that once again we could spend a lot of time on these answers. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the answers. Daf Yomi, we got to cover, we got to move ground. But this is where you could really. This is where the yeshivas they really delve. So the Gemara says illustration number one of where it can happen concurrently, where you're a thief and you are eating the truma. So somebody takes the truma and stuffs it down your throat. Well, not yet. Not stuff it down your throat, but I'd say insert it into your mouth. Okay, and you'll see why I'm going to choose the words carefully. So, someone comes along and inserts it into your mouth. So, came into Lase Kanye. So the Gemara says, okay, someone put it in your mouth. So now you're not a thief yet. Okay, good. I know. You're not a thief yet. Right. So good. So right now, at this point in time, nothing. Meaning, you're not financially obligated because you haven't stolen it, and also you're not chayv misa because you haven't eaten it yet. So now the Gemara is going to dissect, almost literally, the Gemara now is going to dissect the two acts. First of all, you start chewing. So what happens when you start chewing? That's a maisa geneva. The act of chewing now makes you a thief because you are now doing an actual action that transforms the item to yours. Now, mischayv b'nafshal havei ad debala. And then the Gemara says, now what about in terms of Misa B'dei Shemayim? That's coming at a later point in time. Now, not much later, but still at a later point in time. What the Gemara over here is pointing out is that in order to employ the rule of Kamle, you need those events to occur at the same time. Over here, chewing is the act of Geneva. Swallowing is the Misa. And so the Gemara says that's two separate times. And you're not subject to Kamle.
No, didn't he originally acquire it when he picked it up? No, that was the
original assumption of the Gemara, to which the Gemara said, if that's true, then certainly we're not going to say Kamle. So what the Gemara now is trying to do is give illustrations of how it can come at the same time.
When the friend puts it down the guy's throat, we're not going down the throat yet.
Right now, he just put it into his mouth.
When he puts it in his mouth, right?
Yes.
Is the guy who puts it in his mouth the one who's a thief?
No. In other words, he's an abettor. He's an aider and abettor. And there's no question about it. But in terms of actually being a thief, so what you have to do is you have to pick it up with the intent of keeping it for yourself. He didn't do that. It's a technicality. I totally understand that. But in other words, he's not the one who irrevocably took it.
And the fact that he picked it up is
I understand, we have laws in this country for
there's no kinyan there when he picks it up.
Not if his intention is not to keep it. In other words, if something's yours, if that mug is yours and I pick it up and I put it back down again, I'm not a thief. Mm-hmm. I have to pick it up with the intent of keeping it. So here, granted, what he did is wrong. But in terms of on the books, we're talking legalities over here, you got to pick it up with the intent of keeping it.
You may be in the
Rishus
of the owner of
that. Okay, whatever. Again, we're just, right now, I know there's so many details over here to iron out, but we're just looking now for that point of concurrence. So the Gemara says, Kigon, so I'm sorry, Mishchai ben Ashlo have Adabala, Kigon, so now the Gemara says, Shetachav Lutok Beis Ablia. So now the Gemara says, okay, you're right. So we're going to now discuss the following, and that is that the person, right, who took the truma, not the person who's going to be incriminated, but the aider and abettor, he took the truma and he stuffed it down his throat. Stuffed it down the person's throat. So which the Gemara says, hey, chidam. The Gemara says, now, let's think about this for a moment. Now the Gemara says, now, if he could cough it back up again, so that's exactly what he should do. He should cough it back up again. And now if he can't cough it back up, it's so far down his throat, so am I chayev. So you can't hold him liable for something that he was forced to do. That's what's called ones, ones rachmana patre. We know that you're going to be exempt from an ones. So the Gemara says, no, what he could do is he can cough it back up with great difficulty. Now here's where it gets tricky. And I'm just going to bring it up. I'm just going to bring it up. Rashi over here discusses. And now what? Meaning, so someone stuffed it down your throat. Now you didn't chew on the item. In other words, that would have been a maisa kinyan. But rather, what happened now is that it's in an area where you still have the ability to bring it, to spit it out. But instead, you made the other decision, and that is to swallow it. And now what? So now there are going to be two penalties that are going to occur, and they're going to occur concurrently. Now, to call the person a thief is a little bit difficult because what did he do? He didn't pick the item up. He didn't. He didn't chew on the item, so to call him a ganav is a little bit difficult. So fine. So let's not use the term ganeva now. Let's use a slightly different term. It's going to result in the same, and that is he's going to be financially obligated. But the word ganeva over here is a difficult word to employ. So what word are we going to use instead of calling him a ganav? Call him a mazik. Meaning, what is he doing now? He's damaging the truma. Because what he could have done at this point in time is, again, the case is he could have sent it back up again. Now, the Gemara is and return it to the owner. Now, right, well, stay tuned because the Gemara in just a moment is going to be addressing your question. Okay.
But the assumption is that it was an involuntary swallow.
But again, if the Gemara said, if it's involuntary, so then the Gemara says, and then that's nothing, that's an ones. So over here, it's in a situation where it's placed within his body, within his throat, he could have thrown it back up again, could have coughed it back up again. I understand it's unappealing. The Gemara is going to address that in just a moment. But it's unappealing. But he's not a ganav. To call him a ganav is difficult. So we won't use the term ganeva, we'll use the term mazik. What he's doing is he's taking food that belongs to a kohen and
destroying
it. That's a mazik. So as a mazik, you're chayev. Now, granted, as a mazik, you're going to be chayev, and the terms of what you're liable for are going to be slightly different than being a ganav. Then you'll understand Rashi. Rashi says, just to illustrate why I'm making this point, Rashi says, Shetachalo chavero, Rashi delog, bavalo kanya. Rashi says, you didn't pick it up, you weren't konev, alo mechayev betashlomim, ela bebliaso mischayev, but rather what you're doing is you're going to be chayev on swallowing. Now watch what Rashi writes, demei hanayas meyev. And what are you going to be liable for, says Rashi? The benefit that you receive from the item, velo demei kula, not its actual benefit, but basically, it's nutritional value. That's what Rashi writes. Just give me a moment. Now, at that point in time, meaning you also enjoyed the food. Meaning the food, you swallowed the food. That's something, food that you could have spat up. So now, why did Rashi say that you're only chayav for its nutritional value, its replacement value? Why aren't you chayav for whatever the food is worth? And the answer is because now we're no longer looking at you as a ganav, we're looking at you as a mazik. You're damaged. And so therefore you have to pay the demei nezik, the damage that you've done. Okay. That's just a brief description of this case over here. So again, what do we gain from all this? What we gain from all this is now we finally have concurrence. We have the mamon and misa bidei shamayim occurring at the same time, and that would be an illustration of, it's a very strange illustration, but that's one illustration of a case where we could talk about having an exemption based on the principle of kamlei. Answer number two, Rav Papa, Amar Kegon Shetach Lo Chaver Mashkin Shel Truma, L'soch Piv. Answer number two is going to be very similar to answer number one, but instead of talking about a food, we're going to talk about a liquid. What do we gain by talking about a liquid as opposed to talking about a food? Well, as we pointed out, with a food, if somebody puts the food in your mouth, so then you could just simply take it out of your mouth. And you should have, and you didn't. And you start chewing on it. That's when you made a kinyan. When it comes to liquid, the moment liquid comes into your mouth, the Gemara assumes at that point in time, it's irrevocable. Meaning you're going to spit out the liquid and nobody's going to want to drink it. It's disgusting. And the Gemara says that's why with liquid, so now it's a somewhat better scenario in that the liquid's in your mouth and you are now at that point in time a mazik. And also, you're going to end up swallowing it. And the Gemara says that's another example of concurrence. Or the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar. Rav Ashi now is going to give another scenario. Rav Ashi is going to be the biggest chiddush. And he says like this. Bizar shachol shurma. You know what? I'll give you an example of concurrence. It goes like this. The non-Kohen is eating shurma. Meaning, he picked up the shurma, he took it a long time ago. Good. So he stole the shurma some time ago. And now he starts eating it. And while eating the truma, then what does he do? V'kar shiram shel chavero. Then what I do is, assuming this time does not belong to me, while I'm eating the truma, I tear somebody else's clothing. And that would be an illustration of kamle b'dirab emine. Meaning those two actions are occurring concurrently. Now that should sound strange. Because now for
you're two different people.
Now for the first time in the discussion of Kamle B'Derabene, what are we saying? We're saying that concurrence of two obligations, a financial and a capital crime, or in this case not capital, but Misa B'Dei Shemaim, but again according to Rav Nechunya Ben Akana, according to Abaye, it's the same, it's all the same. So there could be an exemption of Kamle, even though I am chayev to one person, the Misa B'Dei Shemaim, and I'm chayev to another person, the money.
It's two different acts.
Right. And take a look at Rashi on the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. This doesn't escape Rashi. Rashi writes, V'kar Shirayim, B'shash Shebo'ah. At the time when you're swallowing the truma, you're then tearing somebody else's clothing. The alpha gav demisa lav mishum amona denizak asyale mifter. And Rashi understands that even though the misa has nothing to do with the monetary obligation that's occurring at the same time, in other words, this entire discussion for the entirety of today's daf, we've been assuming that the misa and the mamon is deriving from the same source, which is true. Now what the Gemara is saying, and Rav Ashi is saying, is a tremendous chiddush, is that even if they're not coming from the same source, the misa is for eating the truma. The mamon is because I'm tearing somebody else's clothing. So, svir leila Rav Ashi, misa lezev, v'tashlamu lezev pater. Rav Ashi is of the opinion that also creates an exemption within the world of Kamle. And, I mean, Rashi doesn't say it, but I'll say it. That's a tremendous chiddush. That's really a totally novel idea within the world of Kamle, that under such circumstances you're going to receive an exemption. Okay. Gufa. Top of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. Now we have found a case of concurrency regarding the eating of the truma. So we're going to go back to a statement made by Rav Chista, and that is Moder Rav Nechunya Ben Akana Begonev Chabo Shel Chaver Va'achlo Shu Chayev Shekvar Nischayev Begnev Akonim Shabal Lidei Iser Chaylev. Okay, so the statement of Rav Chista is that if I first take somebody's chaylev and then I eat it, so I'm going to be on the hook for both. On the hook for thievery, because that occurred earlier. On the hook for eating the chaylev, because that comes at a later point in time. Fine, so I'll be chai for both. So the Gemara says, Lema pligi de Rebbe Avin. So the Gemara says, I think that this is in dispute with the opinion of Rebbe Avin. The Amar, Rebbe Avin. Hazor chetz mitchil arba sof arba v'kar shirayim behalicha so. Let's say on Shabbos they do the following. We know that on Shabbos I cannot throw something a distance of 4 amos and a rishos l'rabim. If I do so, that is chilul Shabbos. That's a capital crime for throwing an item 4 amos in a public domain. And what I do over here is that I wind up my arrow, pull back on the string and let the arrow fly, and it flies 4 amos. And in its path on Shabbos, as I'm throwing my arrow 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, so it goes through somebody's backyard. It goes right through the clothing that was hanging on the line. Although, to be fair and honest, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. dry clothing on the. Okay, fine. Fine. So the but it tears somebody's clothing in its path, and then it settles that four amas later. So you're going to be chayiv. And why are you going to be chayiv? So he says, I'm sorry. When I say chayiv, I really meant pater. Yeah. Correct. Meaning that what's happening now is concurrency. Meaning that because I did two things simultaneously, I violated Shabbos and I tore somebody's clothing, creating a financial liability, and because they occurred concurrently, therefore, I'm going to, we're going to employ the rule of Kamlay. So, just do me a favor. Wait. let's see the Gemara. So it's too early. So Patur Shakir Tzorach Hanachahi, and the reason why says Rabbi Avin is that the Akira Tzorach Hanacha. Now let's leave those words right now undisturbed. usually the point of the Gemara is to read and translate. Right now let's leave those words alone. Obviously they mean something, but the meaning of them we're going to see what it means in just a moment. But the Gemara says, so, but what do you see? You see that in order to get the arrow over there, starts over here. The whole act is viewed as one act. Anything that occurs at the same time is considered simultaneous. It's viewed as concurrent. And therefore, in that illustration, Rabbi Abin, so what do we say? You're going to be exempt from the money because the money, the monetary obligation, the monetary liability is occurring at the same time of Chil Shabbos. The Gemara now is saying, if Rabbi Abin is saying it's true over there, so let's go back to our case of stealing somebody's chalev and eating it. I stole your chalev, I eat it. Isn't the stealing and the eating all considered one act, just like the arrow that's being sent over four amos? And here we are setting ourselves up now to make a distinction, obviously. But aren't they the same? And if in the Shabbos illustration I'm going to be exempt and we're going to employ the rule of Kamlay, and me stealing your chalev and eating it, assuming it's the same, so that should create an exemption from the financial liability. That is the Gemara's question. Hachanami, here too. Hagbat Tzorach Achilahi. The lifting it up is necessary in order to eat it. And so why are we not viewing these two cases as the same? The way the Gemara formulates the question is, they got to be arguing with one another, right? Meaning they can be agreeing with one another. And here we go now with really the core of today's daf, and that is that they don't have to be arguing with one another. They could very well be agreeing with one another, and how so? Hachi hashta. The Gemara says, because the cases are incomparable. And let's listen carefully, because the Gemara is now going to draw two different ways to say why the cases are incomparable. Number one, hasamiyaf shalanach below akira, because over there, look, to create a liability on Shabbos, I need two basic ingredients. I need what's called akira, I need to pick the item up, and I need hanach, and I need to put the item down. Now, in the case of throwing, putting it down doesn't mean I place it down, it means I throw it. But in order to get to the point of hanacha, I need the akira, meaning you can't have B without A. Okay, that's the way we're going to formulate it today. You cannot have B without A. So to get to B, you need A.
How about the intention?
Again, right now, stick right now with the basic thought of the Gemara. Meaning, already the Gemara gives us enough to conceptualize about. So you can't have B without A. So that is the case of the arrow. You get to get to Hanacha, I need Akira. There is no Hanacha without Akira. But hacha eshal achil below hagba. But over here, I don't have to pick up your chalev in order to eat it, like an animal. I can bend down and I can eat it without having to pick it up. But here eshal achil below hagba di bay gachin va'achil. If I want to, I could just simply bend down and eat it. So in other words, the picking it up is not a necessary component to get to the eating. So here in the stealing of chalev, I don't need A to get to B. B could be accomplished without A. Okay, that's one way to say the difference between the two. Inami, or the Gemara says, we'll say it another way. Hazami by la dure la matzim ahadale, in the shooting of the arrow, once I release the arrow, that's it. It is irrevocable. Now that the arrow is in motion, the force of the arrow is such, I can't now consciously say, oh, you know what? Let's get it back here. That's it. It's totally undoable. But even after picked up the chalev and looking at it and being tempted to eat it, so I still have bechir chavshi at that point in time, and the food is in my hand, and I could just simply say no thank you, and I could put it back down again. So in other words, the hagbah does not start an irrevocable process. I could change my mind. So my ika bein ha'ilishna ha'ila ha'ilishna. So let's review. There are two ways that we're going to be distinguishing between these two cases. A, the first way we're going to draw a distinction is that in the case of the shooting arrow, to get to the hanacha, I need an akira. B cannot occur without A. As opposed to the case of eating somebody else's chalev, I can eat it without picking it up. Second way of explaining the difference between the two is that when I shoot the arrow, so now I've started a process that I cannot undo. When I pick up somebody's chalev to eat it, I could stop somewhere in the middle. I could just simply put it back down again. And so I have not started an undoable process. An irreversible process.
You
so the Gemara.
Swallow it to eat it without picking it up, you know, stealing it.
No,
still stealing.
Again, that's true. What we're doing right now in the Gemara is looking to see the differences between the Rabbi Avin case and the Rav Chista case.
I understand that the question of picking it up is a matter. The point is, he's stealing it.
Right. Correct.
But it depends down. And
you're also stealing. You're also stealing,
stealing it.
Correct.
So the lifting is not has nothing to do.
So that
this should have no impact on the case.
Right, but why don't? You're right. But the question of the Gemara is why doesn't Hagbah become part of the act of eating? So again, so you can go either with the first approach, which is that I don't need A to get to B.
I understand that.
Or the other way to say it is that it's not irreversible. Or if you'd like, you don't like the double negative, it's reversible. Even after I pick it up, I could put it back down again. Now, my ika bein ha'ilishna la'ha'ilishna. The Gemara says now, we now have come up to formulate two different ways of distinguishing between the Rabbi Avin case of throwing the arrow on Shabbos and the Rav Chista case of stealing somebody's chalev. Gemara says those are not the two; those explanations are not the same, and we can even further draw a distinction between the two ways we just explained. For example, ika beinayhu hamavir sakim rishus harabim v'kar shirayim ba'alichaso. Let's say I do the following: I pick up a knife, I walk 4 amos in rishus harabim with the knife in my hand, and while walking, so I tear somebody's clothing with the knife that was in my hand. So now, la'achlish and damar diav shalah nacha below akira, chanam diav shalah nacha below akira. Now, if the way you want to formulate it is to get to B, I need A. Here, to get to B, I need A, meaning my liability of carrying the knife 4 amos and rishus harabim, I can't get to hanacha without an akira. Hanacha needs an akira. So here, the entire act is going to be viewed as one total, one unit. And therefore, anything done in the meantime, in the interim, is going to be included in that act. Fine. So that's going to create a patur. However, but if you're looking at the irreversibility of the action, like when I shoot the arrow, that's it. I can't reverse the action. Here, I pick up a knife, I walk 2 amos, I could stop, I could turn around, I could put it down at this point in time, meaning the action is not irreversible. And so here I can reverse the action. So what we have now is a halacha Rav Chista, a halacha Rabbi Avin. The Gemara thought they're not compatible. The Gemara says, no, they are compatible. There are two ways of drawing a distinction between the two cases, either describing how either B needs A, or the irreversibility of the act. Those are the two ways to distinguish. And based on the two ways of distinguishing, we're going to have a nafka mina based on the example that we just gave. If I pick up a knife and I walk 4 amos and rishus harabim, and I tear somebody's clothing during the interim, am I going to be? Am I going to receive an exemption? So again, if B needs A, yes. If it's irreversible, here it's reversible. Okay, so that's an outline of the Gemara that we just did.
Is it really irreversible if somebody picks up something and goes to Rishud Rabim and comes back to Rishud Gayachi, he didn't do anything wrong? He picks up something from private,
well,
goes to public and comes back to private and puts it
down. Irreversible means that I'm going to pick up a knife, I'm going to walk 4 amos.
Right.
Okay, now, in the case of the arrow, the moment I let it out of my hand, that's it. It's going to travel 4 amos. Whether from that point going forward I wanted to or not. And that's irreversible. So here, when I pick up a knife and I walk 2 amos, I could stop. I could stop, and if I stop at that point in time, so I haven't been Michal Shabbos. Okay. Amar Gufa. Amar Rabbi Avin Azorchetz Mitzchila Abla Sof Arba Vekar Shirayim Belichasof Patush Akir Tzorchanachahi. Okay, so now that we understand, two different ways, of course, but now that we understand the statement of Rabbi Avin, that if I have a prolonged action, like the throwing of an arrow, but because the Hanacha needs the Akira, other way around, the Akira needs... No, I was right the first time. Because the Hanacha needs the Akira, so therefore we view that as one act, as a unit, and then any financial obligation that occurs during that unit is going to be exempt based on the rules of Kamle. Fine. And again, I just gave you the short version because there are two ways to understand that, as we just did in the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to compare that with another case, Mace of Rabibi Bar Abaye. So Rabibi Bar Abaye is bothered based on a brisa. This brisa also is brought up a number of times in Shas. You can see inside the Gemara, Baba Basra, Sanhedrin, Shabbos. Okay, and so this is now the fourth time in Shas we're going to see this brisa, and it describes the following scenario. I go into Kis B'Shabbos, Chayv Shikvar Nischayv Begneiv Akodem Shavo Lidei Isser Skila. I go into your house, and what do? I pick up your wallet, and I run out on Shabbos. Your house is a Rishos HaYachid, and let's say it's contiguous, right next to Rishos HaRabim. So I go into your house, I pick up the wallet, I run out, and good. I mean, when I say good, by the way, there is nothing good about what I just described. That's thievery. That's Chilul Shabbos. When I say good, I mean that the theft is rung up the moment I pick it up. So I'm on the hook now for the item I just took. I just picked up. And what about Chilul Shabbos? That only occurs after I walk outside the house and I transfer from Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaRabim. So the Braisa says, you're chayiv for the financial obligation. However, let's now do the contrasting case. But let's say I do the following with the wallet. I push it out the door. I don't pick it up. I push it out the door. And I keep pushing. Push, all the way till I get to the threshold. And then what I do, as I get to the threshold, I push it from inside the house to outside the house. At that moment in time, when I cross the threshold, two things happen. Number one, I'm a ganef, I stole. What about all the pushing that I did in your house? So again, this is a technicality, but we're learning Gemara, so we're in a secure area where we could speak technically. So when I'm in the house and I pushed, I didn't do a Maisa Kinyan. I didn't do a Kinyan Geneva. In other words, to do a Kinyan Geneva, you have to do something that normally is a Kinyan, like picking it up, like Hagbah. But over here, pushing a wallet, that's not a Kinyan. Bringing something.
It's not dry.
Okay, well, stay tuned. Well, the Gemara later on will ask your question. So so that's not a Kenyan. Now what do I do is I'm moving it from a Rishus HaYachid, from a private domain into a public area. Oh, that's.
Then you pick it up or you don't pick it up?
No, I don't pick it up.
So there's no Kenyan because you didn't have a Kenyan.
So bringing it into somebody else's Rishus is a Kenyan. So taking something into someone else's rishus is a kinyan. So good, very good, Hedy, excellent. Stay tuned. So it's Purim today. Everyone's so excited. I love it. So now you pushed it out. The Kinyan and the Chilul Shabbos both come at the same time. And for you, the Ganav now, that's wonderful. You're only going to be put to death by Beis Din. You're not going to be on the hook for the theft. You don't have to pay back. So the Gemara says, what do we have over here? We're looking at a problem. So and the problem, of course, is Va'amai. It's reading on in the Gemara. So Nami Le Mahagbat Sar Hotzahi. Can we make the argument that we made regarding the arrow, meaning I'm going to, eventually what's going to end up happening is I have an Akira and I have a Hanacha. Akira, Hanacha, don't you say that the Akira needs a Hanacha? So here also, when I pick up the item and I walk with it outside, can't we put that act together? Meaning, can we? We did in the case of the arrow, so over here, why not do the same thing? And if we're going to put that whole action together, so now can't we make the argument that the theft and the Chilul Shabbos are occurring concurrently, simultaneously. So now we're going to get into a whole bunch of technical answers. Meaning the question is excellent. The Gemara doesn't need me to say that. But in other words, it's such a strong question. Right? Earlier we said that Akira Tzorach Hanacha unites that entire action, and so that any financial liability that occurs in that interim is you're going to be exempt from. So here also we should be saying the same thing. So here now we begin with a bunch of technical answers. So kigon shagbiyal manas latzniyo v'nimachalav otzio. So the Gemara says, well, here's what happened. As a thief, what you were doing is you picked up the item, but it's a complicated theft. It wasn't a very simple theft. You couldn't just simply walk out with it. So when you picked it up on Shabbos, your original intent was, I'm going to hide it somewhere else in the house. And then later, at a later point in time, I'll come and I'll take it. And that's why the Akira and the Hanacha are not united. To which the Gemara says, okay, you did a good job separating the Akira of the Hanacha, but you did such a good job. You know what you also did? You actually removed the liability of Shabbos. In such a scenario, you're not chayiv on hotzah, based on what if you remember from Shabbos. V'chi, I gavne mi chayiv am Rav Siman am Rabbi Ami am Rav Yochanan hamefana chafetz mizavis lizavis. If I pick up an item on Shabbos just to move it from one corner to another, v'nimlach, and after the item now is already in my hand, I say, you know what? Let me go outside. So v'nimach alem votz yam patur shlo I saw akira b'shav rishon lekach. You're going to be exempt from chilul Shabbos because akira on Shabbos means by definition that when I pick up the item, my intent is to go outside with the item. If that was not my original intent, that doesn't qualify as an Akira. And if I pick it up with no intent of going outside, and then after it's in my hand, I then later decide to go outside, that's not Chilul Shabbos. So what you did is, you did an excellent job separating the Akira v'Hanacha, but the truth of the matter is, you did too good a job. Because now there's not even Chilul Shabbos. And the case we're looking for is a case where there's Chilul Shabbos.
If there's intention here, it's important that the intention, when you pick up the arrow to do it, your intention is done. I mean, you pick up the arrow to control, so that becomes intention. If we say intention is important, then we have to apply to the first one.
Correct. Agreed.
I'd say that.
So in the case of the arrow, we said that anything that you damage in the interim is going to be rung up under the Chilul Shabbos. So here, you'd be exempt over there. Here, what the Gemara now is suggesting is the Rice is talking about a case where I didn't have intent to take it outside. To which the Gemara says, "Good. Not only did you separate the Akira v'Hanacha, it's not even Chilul Shabbos." So the Gemara says, "Lo tema amenas latznio, ela amenas lehotzio." So the Gemara says, "You're right. Scratch that idea. You picked it up with the intention of taking it out." Okay, and now back to square one. If that's right, so then you should be exempt with any financial obligation that's incurred. So the Gemara says that while you're walking out, what do? You took a break. You took a breather. So in other words, hotzah means I pick up an item, and in one unobstructed action, I walk outside. Here, I pick it up, I take a step, and then I fan myself. So the Gemara says, these are the halachas of taking a break in the hotzah act. So the Gemara says, so if I did it just to shift the item from one shoulder to another shoulder, so the Gemara says, that's not a breather. That will not obstruct the act of Hotza'ah. You will still be on the hook for Hotza'ah. So the Gemara says, so what must be is that you took a really long pause. Maybe you sipped some tea, whatever the case is, you took a long break. You took a long break, and that's why the Hotza'ah and the Akira and the Hanacha are separated by that very long break. So
the act is completed.
So the Gemara says, Aval Chatef Mai. So the Gemara says, now what are you saying? Now we're drawing a very, very fine distinction between I paused, was it a short pause or what was a long pause? And that'll make all the difference in the world. Gemara says, if that's going to make all the difference in the world, so you know what's coming next. Anytime the Bryce is drawing a distinction between the case of Chiyuv and the case of Patur, and we want to create a contrast, we always love to make the finest contrast we can make. Meaning, we want to do surgery right now. We want to draw the best distinction as we can. So the Gemara says we're on the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Ad nihaya megarvi yotz megarvi yotz they pater niflug v'nisne b'dida. So we're making a distinction between picking up the item versus pushing it on the floor and dragging it on the floor. The Gemara says we have now a much better distinction we can make. You pick up the item, you walk outside, you pause. Now the difference between liable versus exempt is going to be the difference of whether or not you take two breaths or whether you take one breath. I'm I'm exaggerating just a little bit, but you understand. Mm-hmm. Meaning the difference is whether you took a long pause or a short pause. So niflag v'nisli b'didei b'med v'mamor in ba'amid lafosh av alachate pater elahamani. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's a good point. Why didn't the Braisa do that? So the Gemara says, elahamani ben azai. So the Gemara says, you know, the author of the Braisa is ben azai. What is the opinion of Ben Azai? Is that mahalech, that walking, every step you take is a new akira and a new anacha. Every step is like a new event. So avazorik my putter. So that means that according to Ben Azai, you pick up the wallet, you walk outside. So you're going to be on the hook for the theft. Why? Meaning, aren't you? Doesn't the Chil Shabbos and doesn't the theft occur within the same genre? Not according to Ben Azai. Because again, what's going to happen according to Ben Azai? I pick up the wallet. I take my first step. That's it. Meaning that that second step I took now in the world of Shabbos is a totally new action. And therefore, the theft, you're already on the hook for the theft. And now as I walk out the door, what is my liability for Shabbos? It's the step before the doorway and the step after the doorway. That creates a liability for Shabbos. So if the author of the Brice is Ben Azai, so now I understand. I'm on the hook for the theft because the theft happened 5 steps ago. 5 steps later, you're in a whole new world of walking. That's a new Akira with the new step that you took. It begs the question, Tosis asks this question.
If it's a shogeg, then every time...
Let's... according to Ben Azai. Oh, okay, good. According to Ben Azai, how can you walk 4 amas under Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Right? According to Ben Azai, how do you traverse 4 amas under Rosh Hashanah Rabbim?
Steps.
So Tosas gives your answer. Very good. So Tosas says you got to jump. Right? According to Ben Azai. So the So the Gemara says now they're going to draw a distinction between walking and throwing. So the Gemara says okay, so now why not draw another distinction? If the author of the Braisa is Ben Azai, so do the following. If I walk with the wallet outside that I stole, I'm on the hook. The thievery occurred 5 steps ago. Chil Shabbos occurs between the step of inside versus the step of outside. If I throw the wallet outside, so that's it. I've now violated Shabbos and I stole, all within the same action. And I should be exempt. The Braisa could have done that, and the Braisa didn't do that. And why didn't the Braisa do that?
No, that's not true. I don't. Because as soon as he picked it up, he cannot do that same action. He has to pick it up first, so he has...
Okay, good.
Kenyan,
right.
And then he throws it.
Good, but then he throws it, and what do we say? That when you throw an item, yes. The Akira Tzorach Hanacha, okay? In other words, to get to the point of Hanacha, I need the Akira. Yes. So anything that occurred from the time that he picked it up, not just, in other words, the throwing doesn't start at when he actually throws it, the Chilul Shabbos of throwing starts when he picks it up. That's Akira. And at the same time of the Akira, he stole it. Okay, that's it. So the Gemara said, so why didn't the Braisa do that? So Niflag Pater, why didn't the Braisa give that distinction? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why the Braisa didn't do that. Because the Braisa wanted to teach us this halacha of pushing it out the door. Because here's what you could have argued. You could have argued, that is strange. A wallet being pushed out the door? You know what? That's so strange. You don't even ring him up for Chil Shabbos. That's so unusual. It's like a shinui. So Kamash Malan, that's what the Brites wanted to teach us. That no. So Uvemai, let's just do one more give and take.
Huh? What is it teaching us?
It's teaching us that it's not a shinui. It's not such deviant behavior where you could have argued that's not Chil Shabbos. Uvemai. Iba Rabave Orchehu, now the Gemara, and Ben, this is what you asked me earlier. And if we're talking about a large item, so a large item, meaning let's say he's not stealing a wallet. Let's say he's stealing a chest. So pushing it out, that's what you normally do. And if it's really small, it is unusual. Meaning that visual of a wallet and just kind of pushing the wallet out the door, that's weird. So the Gemara says, Ela b'mitzah. So the Gemara says we're talking about something in a mid-range size. Now, I don't ask me to illustrate. I'm not in a position to illustrate. What does that mean, mid-range size? Maybe it's like a purse. It's like whatever. A large purse. Okay, heavy suitcase maybe. Okay, fine. Something in mid-range size. Okay, let's pause over here. I know we're in the middle, but we're beyond our time. We got a lot going on later this morning. Okay, let's pause. Anyway, we'll pick it up tomorrow. We're still in the give and take over here, but the basic idea of the Gemara today is that in order to create an exemption based on the principle of Kamle, they have to have concurrently, and then what we had today is really just such a conceptual discussion of how do we view concurrence, and on Chilul Shabbos, specifically on the Malach of Hotza'ah, how to view the act of Akira and Anacha, how come the two get united, those two actions get united, and why then does something, a financial obligation that occurs somewhere in the middle, are you going to be exempt? The basic answer is yes. And then just the rest of course, is important details that we discussed today.